Lecture 22, Slavery and Freedom.
Welcome back to now our 22nd lecture in the series on ancient Greek civilization. In earlier lectures, particularly when we were paying close attention to the democracy, I posed the question of how we're to judge the democracy, and I suggested that in the context of the ancient world, the Athenian democracy was a quite astonishing accomplishment, that it was unparalleled in Macedon or in Rome or in Persia, even in the other Greek states such as Sparta. And yet, we had to acknowledge, and we've seen this time and again, that the Athenian democracy was in another respect a kind of exclusive club. That is to say, it was a club for Athenian male adult citizens. And by definition, those who did not fit into that category were excluded from the club. We've already seen how, in relation to women, the effect of this inclusive-exclusive dynamic resulted in an ideal in Athens of women being totally excluded from all aspects of public life and being secluded in the household. Now, we've pointed out that may not correspond to the complete historical reality, but it was the desired ideal in classical Athens. If there is, however, one group whose exclusion from the citizen body is absolutely integral to the functioning of the ancient democracy, it is that of slaves. This is a pervasive feature of Greek culture. It is ubiquitous and it is there at all times. And so widespread is the institution of slavery that some years ago a Greek historian posed the question, was ancient Greek culture based on slave labor? Meaning, was it slavery that made possible, not just that it existed alongside Greek culture, but was it that actually made possible the accomplishments of the classical Greeks? And I think that's a question that we're going to have to address if we're going to understand the Greeks properly. In particular, we're going to have to address the question of how does a society which strongly believes in the notion of freedom and equality, as did the Greeks of classical Athens, reconcile such democratic notions with the ownership of slaves, turning other men and women and children into chattel objects that can be bought and sold. So these are serious questions that are going to take us into the heart of Greek society. Well, first of all, let's try to sketch the position of slaves in the ancient world and in Greek culture. They are found throughout Athens performing all manner of tasks, as we'll see in a moment. They're found at every level of Greek literature and from the very beginning. If you think back to the Iliad, the earliest of the great Greek poems, the great conflict that leads to the great warrior Achilles withdrawing from the battle and stranding the Greeks is that he's in conflict with Agamemnon over a slave woman. Hesiod, who gives a slightly more real version of life in the 8th century because he was talking about the world of farmers and everyday Greeks, has as a bit of advice to the would-be farmer, make sure that you have a house, make sure that you have a wife, make sure that you have an oxen with a plow and a slave woman to stand behind it. So from the very beginnings of Greek culture, it is seen to be a core necessity for a Greek household that there should be slaves. And historically, if we go back even into the Bronze Age, we can see in tablets from the Mycenaean palaces, inventories not only including chariot wheels and bales of wool, but also lists of slave women. So slavery is at the very earliest levels of Greek culture and society. In classical times, it was completely widespread and found at every level of Athenian society. Even the poorest Athenian expected to be able to own a slave. There is a very famous speech in which a poor man, a cripple, is appealing to receive a state pension from Athens, and he is so poor, so blindingly poor for an Athenian citizen, he says, that he can't even afford a slave. So this is a measure of absolute destitution. So a free man was expected to have slaves. He might have a group of slaves that he set up in a workshop. for example. We know that Lysias, the son of Cephalus, who had come to Athens in the late 5th century, had a workshop down at the Piraeus where he had 20 or so slaves turning out shields and spears, an armory.